This is Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode available each week at thehollywoodoutsider.com, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. My name is Aaron Peterson, and I'm also joined with Scott Clark.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. We're doing a special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while, we like to bring interviews with independent filmmakers to kind of give you an insight into what goes into getting their films made, as well as insight in the respective film itself. And this week, we actually have, I would say, a legend.
And, for me, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, in the world of film, for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. If you remember The NeverEnding Story, the character of the childlike empress was played by Tammy Stronach. And her family elected to take her out of the spotlight to protect her, to shield her, it sounds. And so she's went a different path, and she's now coming back to the world of entertainment, or at least this kind of entertainment. And she decided to stop by, talk about her experience with NeverEnding Story, and also talk about some other projects coming up.
Yeah, I found it most interesting talking in this interview that she didn't even really realize how big the NeverEnding Story was until she became an adult, and she's like in her 40s now, I believe. And went to Comic-Con and all this, and like, everybody really loves me, and it makes no sense to me, because if I were in a movie when I was 11 years old, I would be telling everybody for the rest of my life that I was in a movie. So
yeah, everywhere I went. I mean, randomly at the bus stop, probably at the grocery store.
Totally.
Checking out at Walmart. Yeah, I was in that movie. Did you ever see that movie? Mm-hmm. I would buy a copy every time I went anywhere, just so I could tell people I was in that movie.
Exactly. Hey, did you see me in this movie right here? I'm right there.
You know, we've all heard horror stories of child stars who ended up, you know, going down dark paths or whatever, and the celebrity got to them because when they're at a young age, they're not able to process everything. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like her parents were really understanding of that potential and of that very real fear for their child. And it sounds like they removed her from that aspect. And mm-hmm. she goes into that a little bit, which is great to get an understanding of. You know, not all parents are, I'm pushing my kid for superstardom. Some parents right. like, okay, that's more than we bargained for.
But she's also got a heart for entertainment. I mean, she said
she loves to perform.
Yeah, just any kind of performance she's all about. And we get to learn about some of that in the interview too. So, but overall, I just can't get over how sweet she was. She's just a very sweet lady.
She's a very nice, humble, very respectful of the entire fandom that surrounds her that it sounds like she didn't even know was there. And she's absolutely just a charming, charming woman.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think they're sick of hearing about us. Let's let them
hear nobody from cares Tammy. What we have to say. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, take a listen to our interview with Tammy Stronach.
Hi, Aaron. It's Tammy.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
And I should also introduce, I've got Scott Clark, also from The Hollywood Outsider, with me.
Hey, Tammy.
Hi, Scott.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing all right. Very happy to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much for accommodating my being so late, but I'm super happy to be here.
Oh, not a problem at all. Glad it worked out.
First thing we ask anybody that we talk to is what motivated you or inspired you to even take on the life of a performer initially? Was there a moment in your life where it just struck you?
I don't know. I feel like I sort of came out of the womb performing and it's almost like the opposite, like I don't really know how I would survive without performing. I think it's some kind of compulsion. I don't really know. I have to make things. I love telling stories. It's sort of what makes me happy.
I want to ask you, because I know we're going to talk a little bit about NeverEnding Story and then your other stuff that you have coming up that I'm really interested in what you're going to be doing here. But do you ever get tired of talking about it? I mean, it's been 30, 40 years. You ever just like, all right, that story is over.
You know, I didn't talk about it for a long time because I pursued dance and choreography in New York, performing live for the last 20 years. And it wasn't really something that was very useful to talk about in that context. You know, that wasn't really applicable to the sort of art world that I was engaged with. And so for the longest time, I really didn't talk about the NeverEnding Story. I didn't think about the NeverEnding Story. And it's really only recently that I started to engage with it. And it's been really fun. It's sort of funny. I feel like I was like, why was I kind of almost burying this thing that, that was so wonderful and having some distance from it? I was invited to a Comic-Con and I'm just going to make myself seem completely off like alien now, but I didn't even really know what Comic-Con were, which is really terrible. And they said, oh, you know, Noah Hathaway is going to be there. And so I was like, oh yeah, that'll be so fun. Let's go. I haven't seen him in 30 years. And so for me, I actually went just to kind of reconnect with an old friend. And then I kind of learned about this whole world and met all these people who still had all this affection and interest in the film. And I realized that I'd been kind of missing out on celebrating something that I share with so many people. And so I'm not sick of talking about it because it's all sort of a little bit of a new chapter.
That's really cool. And I can tell you, as a person that grew up with The NeverEnding Story, I'm a huge fan of it.
Thank you.
Oh, totally. And I actually recently rewatched it because I knew we were going to be talking to you. And I loved your performance. But one thing I wanted to ask you about The NeverEnding Story specifically, it's obviously had a huge impact on people who grew up with the film. But I want to kind of know how you think it resonated with you as someone who grew up actually being in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, what I've sort of realized in speaking about the film again and in talking to people about it is that I think the message of the film and specifically of the childlike empress of doing what you dream and not being afraid to do what you dream, I think that in some way, even though I walked away from celebrity and from the kind of world of film, that message really soaked into my bones. You're very impressionable at 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, I think that in some ways, you know, obviously there's a lot of Tammy in The Childlike Empress, but there's a lot of The Childlike Empress, this character that Michael Ende wrote that kind of sunk into me and was like, you know, even if it can be hard and even if, you know, being a starving artist in New York is difficult, you're just going to do what you dream because that's the right thing to do. It's worth it.
Was that Luck Dragon is creepy? when you were on set as like watching it now.
Creepy. He's like a big golden like Labrador.
Yeah, but you watch it. You watch it now, and I like children, and that's
that's funny. Yeah, definitely things look a little different from north of 40 than they did at 10.
Oh, but, definitely.
No, he's still cute.
No, Scott's got he's had a long-standing debate. He wanted to know if you would answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. At the end of the film, as you're aware, Bastion kind of has to shout the childlike empress's real name into the heavens. And this is kind of like a hotly debated topic about this as to what was actually said. And I'm wondering if you can confirm that for us, because I've read about it, but I want to hear from the childlike empress herself.
It's pizza. No, he does shout Moonchild.
Okay.
He does.
It is confirmed.
Yeah.
So he was given the option by Wolfgang not to. I was on set that day.
Really?
So I watched that scene being filmed live. Yes. And I remember, and I mean, Wolfgang was an amazing director and he directed children not the way some directors direct children. I mean, he really treated us like professionals, and he gave us a lot of respect, in my opinion. And so I saw him talking to Barrett, and he was like, you know, why don't you think about what name you think she should have? Because he wanted him to go through the same journey that Bastion was going through, to like really struggle to find the right thing. And so, you know, there he was crunching his forehead, trying to think of the perfect name. but in the end, you know, one of the options on the table was, of course, Michael Ende's, which is Moonchild, and he settled on that one.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. Cool.
I got a question in terms of, you know, with everything being remade these days, and this film will ultimately find its way there, everything does. How does that sit with you as an actor who was associated with the original in such an iconic way?
I also get asked that question sometimes. So, you know, reboots are hard. Mm-hmm. And they are complicated because you don't want to take away the original magic from something. But at the same time, it's obviously all in the how, right? It isn't like whether it's a reboot or not, it's how. And I feel like if it's done in a way that is really fresh and dynamic and creative and both recognizes the limitations of CGI and animatronics becomes like a really big part of it, but also utilizing the the chi of a puppeteer. I mean, that's, I think, what was so cool about the NeverEnding Story is all those puppets were being manipulated by levers that a human hand was steering. And so that person's, you know, gestures, that person's personality is still, even though it's coming through a puppet, it's still coming out of a human being, you
right.
know? So I don't know. I think that if you find a way to harness all of the possible technologies there are now, but only use them when they're necessary and still retain the kind of magic of live puppetry or live, you know, the animatronic side of things, there could be something really cool. I mean, I'd be curious.
Well, another question I want to ask you about, Tammy, is we live in a world where many people are looking for positive, strong female characters in films, and you carried that role of the childlike empress with strength and grace even at a young age. Can you tell us what kind of impact this had on other girls or women of that decade in terms of straying from the stereotype of other female characters of that era?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's so interesting about that role is that her strength obviously doesn't come through brawn. She's not going to get up and karate chop anyone, you know, like, but she displays a different kind of strength, which is a strength from just being knowledgeable, the strength of wisdom, the strength of patience, the strength of compassion. And I think sometimes, you know, we dilute strength to mean brawn. And of course, it's not. Water is the most powerful thing in the world, and it's this soft, fluid thing. So I love that about the character. I feel so honored to have been given the opportunity to display strength through these other qualities. And I think that that's, you know, it is really important for girls to see that there's all kinds of ways to be powerful and no singular way.
You said you didn't even know that it was resonating with people so much. So was that just a shocking moment when you finally saw, wow, this is really making an impact on people?
Totally. I mean, I've gotten fan mail for the last 30 years. It's remarkable. So I did know that people were still interested in the film, but I also, it wasn't something that I was face to face with. And so, yeah, going to the Comic-Cons, which I just started doing this year, it was really exciting because I feel like what I had sort of been missing is what a special opportunity I've been given to connect with people, and that that's really like precious, and that I wasn't really appreciating it enough. And so it's been very moving to go to Comic-Con and like give people hugs and hear what they were going through at that time in their life and, you know, tell them about what my experience was. And I think that what is interesting about a film or an artwork is that it isn't really just the film, right? It's your, who you are at that moment in your life when you see that film and you pour yourself and your emotional state into that film. And so when you remember it, you're remembering the film, but you're also really remembering who you were. And it's an opportunity to kind of recover pieces of our own past inside of these stories. And so I'm realizing what a great tool it is for kind of both connecting, but also why the film sticks around and what the role of art is in kind of getting us to remember ourselves better.
And totally. I can tell you as a kid that grew up, I joke all the time on our show that the NeverEnding Story was like half of my childhood growing up. I probably wore out my VHS tape. So yeah, it's definitely a great film and very nostalgic for me. But we learned about you a little bit after the filming, your parents kept you from pursuing a career in acting for fear of possible negative aspects of becoming a child movie star. I'm kind of curious how you felt about that. Were you disappointed about not being able to continue in movies, or was this more of a relief for you to pursue your other interests such as dance?
I mean, I think I had mixed feelings about it. Part of me obviously did want to continue with it because it was so exciting, and the work of acting is what I really loved. But I wasn't a huge fan of the sort of thing of being a celebrity. I mean, that's it's like two different jobs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and you really have to do both. You can't just do one without the other. And it was a bit overwhelming. I mean, we had people who were camped out in front of our house people who would fly across the world and, like, you know, sort of hover outside the gate, you know, just at the bottom of the steps of our house. And my parents are archaeologists and just completely unequipped for sort of how to navigate that with grace. And at 11, I certainly wasn't equipped either. So it made sense given who we were and our kind of lack of understanding of the Hollywood machine to not try to drop me into a shark tank without the sort of proper support team to, like, help you swim your way through that. But, I mean, in terms of, I've never stopped performing. I've been performing, you know, for the last 20 years, and I've never stopped dancing and making stories and being in theater and now making music. So, you know, for me, I don't really feel like I stopped. I just took it to the live arena.
How do you like doing what you've been doing? And can you explain to our audience what exactly it is you've been doing in terms of dance?
Yeah, yeah. So I was at a dance conservatory. I did modern dance, but I always craved sneaking a little bit of theater into things. And so I worked with a variety of professional companies in New York while simultaneously making my own works that always had a lot of theater in it. And I think partly influenced by the Neverending Story, I'm really interested in kind of whimsy and magical realism and things that are a little bit surreal. And so the aesthetic of my work is kind of very specific, and the poetry of image is really important to me. So it's a bit of a bridge between dance and theater. And then every once in a while, I would I joined a theater company that I worked with for 7 years called The Flying Machine. Mm-hmm. And we toured all over the U.S. We made 4 original shows, and our home base was a theater in New York called Soho Repertory Theater, which is a really cool theater in downtown New York. And then recently, with the birth of my daughter, I started thinking about family programming because, you know, you're always looking for what to show your daughter. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, films like Finding Nemo are just so amazing. Like, you sort of want to watch it more than your child almost. And I started thinking about how, like, really good stories transcend age. And E.T. is for kids, but it's a really incredible film. And it occurred to me that The Neverending Story, which is where I started, really is family theater, and or not theater, family movie. And so I looked at my husband and I said, you know, I just feel like at this moment in my life, I want to start making projects for families. And that's when we birthed our company, Paper Canoe Company, and we made 2 live shows last year that we performed for months in New York. It was super fun. And then we just released a CD, an album called Beanstalk Jack. and we're starting to move towards digital content. I'm going to make a bunch of music videos for that in the coming months. And my daughter's really excited about all our shows, and she kind of tells everyone to turn off their cell phone at the start of things. And we get up in the morning, and we pull out the guitar, and we play the songs, and she sings them all. And so it really is, like, it's not just a family-friendly genre. It really is a family affair. My whole family, like, we make it, we do it together.
Now, you mentioned the album just now. Is that anything to do with the album from the 80s, Fairy Queen? Is that the same?
Well, it's only in that I'm singing again. I mean, that's the thing that's been so fun about having my daughter is I think having kids brings you back to your childhood. For me, it certainly has. And I found that suddenly all these things that I was doing as a kid seemed really fun to do again. It was just like, I miss this stuff. And so I made a single in Germany after the film where I sang 2 songs. And really haven't touched singing since then. So the album was an opportunity to get back to singing, which has just been a blast, terrifying and wonderful. and so we've been performing it a couple times in New York, and we're starting to book some touring with the album. But the album's, if anyone's interested, the album's available on Bandcamp. You just put in my name or Beanstalk Jack. And it's the story of Jack and the Beanstalk with a boy meets girl twist.
Oh, okay.
Told through vintage rock.
I will definitely check that out. I'm totally interested.
And you're doing a live theatrical experience later this year?
Yeah, well, we're developing Beanstalk Jack into a live theatrical show. Right now it's just a concert, so we sing the song. We're working with these incredible musicians that we're so, so lucky to have. And then we're going to be adding costumes and set pieces and magical beanstalks growing up to the sky over the course of the next year. So we're kind of, it's kind of organically developing with each incarnation.
That's fantastic.
Well, and it looks like you're heading back to the fantasy world with your next film, which is the last of, is it Apurver? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
The Last of Apurver, yeah.
Apurver?
So I love sci-fi. I love fantasy. Apurver is a small project I did. I was actually asked to come on board and choreograph the fight scenes for it.
Oh, wow.
And that's really why I signed on. I was in grad school at the time, and I was looking to pay my student bills, and they said, you know, would you come and choreograph our fight scenes? And I thought, oh, my God, I've never choreographed a fight scene. But I am a choreographer. This would be such an exciting challenge. And it was so fun to choreograph fight scenes. I mean, they really are. It's choreography. It's very violent dance. And then they ended up, when I went over there, throwing me in one scene. But it's a Czech film, and I don't speak Czech. So really just I flash up on the screen and disappear. And I wasn't really invested in getting back into film at that moment. I was still really in my dance head. But I'm looking at scripts now. I've started looking at scripts again. It's exciting. I just feel like there's so many people rooting for me to get back into film and TV that I've now met in this Comic-Con circuit. I kind of feel like I sort of owe it to them to see if I can find a way back in, and it would be really exciting.
Do you know what kind of stories you want to tell?
I really am attracted to the sci-fi fantasy world. I mean, I think the Neverending Story did have a huge impact on me. I think it shaped my taste a little bit, and I think reality is so magical, and we forget about it, and that we sort of need magical or sci-fi worlds to kind of wake us up to the extraordinariness of ordinariness.
That's great. I think you should be involved with a remake, because we did an entire podcast devoted to how would you remake Neverending Story, and it's a hard one to do. I mean, that kind of world is very hard to imagine, and sometimes it just startles me how people come up with that.
I would love to. We'll see if they do it, and we'll see if they think of me. I mean, obviously, I don't know. I mean, I've aged, you know. I don't think I'm not an all-powerful, ageless being. I've definitely...
How do they not think of you?
The role of the Empress is not for me, but it would be super fun if they did that, to do some kind of other cameo.
Well, now she'd be the adult-like Empress.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know if it really has the same punch.
Well, I want to see that movie.
Me too.
So I know I got to let you go. You got other interviews you got to do. But is there anything else you want to mention, or is there what's next for you that you want to talk about?
I just want to tell fans that if they want to reach out to me, I have been interacting with people on Twitter, and I love it. It's super fun. They can find me at Neverending Tammy, and I'll be posting what I'm up to on the Paper Canoe website, which is papercanoecompany.com. And when I know what I'm up to, I'll put it up there. And I'm just super grateful for the interest and the support. I really am. It's incredible, and I feel very honored to be talking with you. And hopefully we'll find people on Twitter and say hi.
Well, the honor's all ours, Tammy. I really appreciate you taking the time. I've been a big fan of yours since I was a little kid. So
yay! Thanks for speaking with you both.
Whenever you come out with whatever the next thing is, come back. We'd love to have you back and promote it.
Sounds great. Okay, take care, guys.
All right.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go, guys. That was our interview with Tammy Stronach. Once again, this is Aaron Peterson and Scotty Clark.
Hey. Thanks for being here, guys.
What did you think about the interview now that we've gotten through the end?
It's kind of like childhood dream to talk to somebody that you kind of grew up, I wouldn't say idolizing, but I just... The Neverending Story was such a big part of my childhood, and to be able to actually talk to an actor from that movie that I just kind of revere was just an enlightening experience for me. It's just,
do you
just
have a
very
crush
cool.
on her?
I wouldn't say I had a crush on her. I think I just had more of such a love for the movie. That movie is a big reason why it was a big part of my imagination. It kind of developed my imagination as a kid, and she's a part of that. And to be able to talk to somebody like that that had such an impact on me as a kid is just a very cool experience.
I had that because we were about the same age, and I had that innocent schoolboy crush, like, I wonder if I sent her a Valentine if she'd respond. And it just,
you were that guy, huh?
I was, but I loved the movie. I loved her performance, mm-hmm. and I love that we finally got an answer to the question that we've debated. We've debated on remake this movie, right? We debated it there,
mm-hmm.
and it's great to finally have an answer to that.
Absolutely,
that's great. Okay, and be sure to follow her, guys, at her website, which is the papercanoecompany.com. It's papercanoecompany.com. You can find all her upcoming projects. And on Twitter, where, Scott?
It is Neverending Tammy. Just Neverending is traditional spelling, and Tammy is spelled T-A-M-I.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Please remember to subscribe and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or your podcast app of choice. Our normal show has a new episode every single week and is available at thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is Aaron Peterson.
And this is Scott Clark.
Reminding you that the next time you go to the theater, buy popcorn.